My name is Dwayne DeFault, and welcome to Selling SaaS, a podcast that's built to get you the best advice from the top experts for go-to-market strategies, sales, and product-led growth. Now let's get into today's episode.
Like, how would you suggest taking the information that AI gives you into a introductory call? Like, what are some ways that sales reps can pivot a little bit to be more effective and not either make too many assumptions because they know everything or rapid fire a interrogation? Like, what are some strategies that a sales rep can use?
Yeah, I mean, we're not doing this at Small World by any means, but what I've, you know, seen, you know, obviously work well is the more information you have about an account, about, you know, what currently matters to that company, what's topical, what press releases they've had, how they're thinking about, you know, solving business challenges this year, any publicly traded company, so much of that information is available, right? So you can use AI to quickly assemble that. And then the next level down is that person specifically, right? So, you know, what, you know, decisions have they made before? You know, what's their area of responsibility? You know, what other people do you work with that, you know, have their exact title and exact same responsibilities? And so when you have that conversation, again, back to empathy, you really kind of know what those KPIs are that they care about. And that gets woven into the conversation in a natural way. It's not, again, you know, this canned sort of like a statement, because then it'll be read through pretty quickly. But, you know, it's under the guise of, you know, hey, would it be important for you if, you know, conversion rates, you know, jump by 25%? And if they did, you know, what would that mean to you? Right. So it's kind of a, it's a very, you know, team sort of type of conversation with them. And so, and again, that's where I think AI can make a huge, huge difference in what a salesperson is armed with going into a call.
Yeah, it's the empathy side of the question comes through. And I feel like a lot of reps struggle with not coming into an early pitch or using the information they have from AI, assuming that they have the same type of problem this other prospect did. And they tend to not ask those questions. They'll get in and they'll just go right into, you know, value proposition or value presentation. And they didn't give the prospect time to make their connection. Like, we as sales, like, if you as an account executive or an SDR are calling directly into this vertical every time, like, you're so specialized, you're highly tactical, you only work in this one vertical, great. But use that to know the potential problems and help the prospect get to that point on their own. And that's, I think that's where we can use AI even more, is to give us as salespeople the insights necessary to be impactful and effective earlier on and not waste their time. Like, I feel like a lot of, I mean, you probably see it with Small World. These buyers these days are so well educated. They're so far down the buyer's journey by the time they get on a demo that it almost feels like they're taking 10 steps back to answer the questions that they now have to go to be qualified. And so I think it's being like, well, we were talking earlier, being genuine, being authentic and being upfront with them and even saying like, hey, I was able to find X, Y, and Z information, you know, what's missing? Or, you know, have a real conversation with people because they respect that. Like, when I get on a call with a rep and when I happen to answer one of the cold calls I get, two phone numbers for a reason, it's really great when I'm having an actual conversation or I don't feel like I'm being qualified. And I truly think that AI can help with that. If you do what we're talking about, use it as information to prepare and know what questions to ask. It's fast. So you said that's not something you're doing at Small. So what are you guys doing at Small World then? Like, how is your sales strategy? Like, I know warm intro and all that stuff, but like, how are you guys entering the sales conversation with prospects?
Yeah. So I think most companies are trying to do more with less right now, right? They're trying to get more efficient. They're consolidating. They're, you know, looking for ways to build pipeline. I mean, everybody always is, right? But this idea that, you know, everything we've been talking about today, sales has become a lot harder. It's become harder to get the first meetings, let alone, you know, make sure that you know, drive conversion rates. And the recognition that these warm introductions, whether it's coming from a, you know, customer, whether it's coming from a board member, there's evidence that is showing this clearly changes outcomes of deals. And so where we're, you know, seeing success is companies have tried to do this through sort of an antiquated process using a spreadsheet where there isn't, you know, an easy way for connectors to offer help where either directly or indirectly they have relationships. So we have an intelligence engine that looks at everything from things like work history to location to relationships across, you know, different platforms that helps make it much easier for the right connectors to actually offer help. And then because we've built it into one system, we're able to track, manage, provide status updates, reminders, all the things that a connector would expect to have, recognition, right, incentives, and be able to do this all through mobile. So with one or two clicks, they actually can make introductions, and the end result ends up being just much more effective sales at a lower CAC, because you're not having to invest as much in the resources required to both build pipeline and close deals. And so that's where, you know, we're seeing success sitting alongside, you know, traditional, you know, tools that do, you know, look to try to scale things or create reach that are, you know, transcribing, you know, conversations. So that's really what we're honing in on. And ultimately our mission is to help every sales organization engage with literally any target prospect, any person at any company that they can imagine. And we can do that through direct relationships, indirect relationships, third degree relationships. And as our network grows, you know, be able to do that through our entire network.
The mention of the connector and the relationship with them in mobile, that kind of stuck out to me. So when you say you're working with the connector, is it you have like a smaller sales team where they've got one or two reps and they're more like account managers who manage a network of connectors that then they prospect through? Or like, how does it, like if I were to go get Small World right now and I was going to, you know, get it to one of my clients or one of my sales team, like what would I instruct them to do with Small World?
So if you're an AE using Small World today, and let's say you want to meet with Verizon and you want to meet with the, you know, VP of product at Verizon, rather than work with your SDR to try to, you know, reach out to this person, send them, you know, a series of emails over 5 to 6 weeks, work with marketing to try to get a hold of them, you quickly go into Small World, you see that one of your advisors, customers, partners, somebody within the ecosystem of your business has a strong or greater relationship with that VP of product, you can count on that meeting happening over 55% of the time through Small World. We've got about an 83% conversion rate in terms of a request moving to yes, and then that meeting actually, you know, taking place 71% of the time. And so it just completely changes the way in which sales and marketing teams can secure meetings. And remember, this is with the VP of product, right? It's not a lower level. It's not a manager. It's a director level. And because of trust, you're accelerating these sales cycles as much as you are creating new opportunities. And so that's how you would use it, right? If you're a strategic rep who, you know, it's already an existing customer, you're looking to expand into new buying centers, you're looking to grow that business, you know, you're going to do the same thing, you know, across other buying centers and other levels. If you're a customer success rep and you have some red or yellow accounts, right, that you want to make sure that you retain, you want to do a relationship audit for that company, you might find that your chief operating officer spends every weekend with, you know, chief operating officer from, you know, one of your customers who's a threat to leave that can change the outcome, right? So that's where we fit in. And on the mobile side, so what we've done is reimagine this user experience so that if traditionally as a rep, you would have reached out cold, you'll now do an introduction request into somebody who knows that person. And then they have some flexibility in terms of how they make that introduction. It's really their prerogative, but we've created a really elegant way for them to forward a ghost email. It's in a, you know, consistent payload that describes why they want to meet with that person. It describes the business. And what it does is it actually creates a less presumptuous approach by the connector because they feel like they're potentially adding value to the person that they know if this is timely and relevant, and yet they don't feel like they're having to sell. So what we've seen is these connectors now can forward something and you know, basically just say, you know, hey, Dwayne, take a look at this. If it's timely and relevant, would love to introduce you to Steve. If it's not, no worries. Look forward to seeing you next weekend, right? And it doesn't feel like this. It's very much a double opt-in sort of appropriate, tactful approach.
So do the connectors have their own like account or login, or is it all done through the sales rep?
Yeah. So the connectors, you know, become a part of the system. They get invited, right, by the team that's managing, you know, our platform. We've made it very easy for them to participate without having to do much. And then they have options in terms of what they want to add to the system, you know, with relationships to personalize it. So as an example, you know, if they do add their relationships, we'll curate all those and only surface the ones that fit the ICP of that company so that they're not having to go through and like rate a bunch of relationships, but rather they're really focused on those that matter to the sales and marketing team.
That's really cool. I'm just visualizing like an account map on steroids, where I've seen so many tools do this, but only like one degree, where it doesn't pull in. And I also think it's fascinating that you guys have, because it sounds like you use your employees. Like it's like if I'm at company XYZ, it adds everyone from the organization in there, and then also kind of has the ability to map to their potential connectors, which then can be utilized to reach out to other people, not just whoever I happen to connect with on LinkedIn that day.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because those people that get included are intrinsically motivated, you know, to make introductions. Or like I mentioned, there's companies that are creating tangible, you know, incentives and benefits to employees or customers or partners, right, to make these warm introductions. So it's an extension of what you would, you know, traditionally, you know, do through LinkedIn or through other kind of, you know, databases.
Well, it solves a major problem in kind of channel partnerships. Like when you're developing an ecosystem for channel partnerships, one of the hardest things to do is to teach your partner how to refer you. Because then they'll say, oh, we'll talk to this person over here. And then they come to you and you're like, we don't do any of that. Like, how did they send you over to us? And so it helps kind of remove that ambiguity and making sure that not only are you controlling who they send, because then it maps it for them instead of them just sending their brother who works at this company who said they needed a thing one time. It's actually guiding the conversation and then curating, like you were saying, the type of messaging and giving them the asset to forward on, so that way they don't feel like they have to do anything. Because that's the other side of things too. When I ask for referrals, that's one of the things that's always tough, because I don't want that person to do too much, but then I also want to make sure they do it right. And so it's a hard balance to where, and then the compensation piece too. And so you're saying even inside of your program, when a connector is in a business's system, there could be an incentive program inside of that, is what you're saying?
Well, we've got technology that allows a requester to gift, right, a connector. They have a variety of different ways that they can do that. You know, what we want to try to do is really stay away from you know, creating a marketplace where it's all about kind of financial incentive, right? That will end up kind of damaging the integrity of the introductions. We want all of these to be authentic and done for the right reasons. And the connectors want that too, right? Because what they want to do is, you know, embolden that trust and continue to invest in that relationship and you know, increase their social capital. So, you know, we won't get in the game of sort of, you know, paying off people like that. But what we've seen, and we'll, you know, do this with customers, is they'll activate their own incentive program. And what we now allow them to do through our reporting and through our system is they can account for it properly. So our reporting and our, you know, ability to allow them to audit now, you know, which partners should, you know, be eligible for commissions, or, you know, we've got a leaderboard built into our system where, you know, this can be a contest, right, that gets run across the business where everybody has visibility. But that's how they use us to then, you know, in turn provide incentives to the different connectors.
I was just drawing a map. I was like, that's really cool. I'm a visual person. Other side of my office is I have two college whiteboards. So in our college here, they were adding smart TVs to all of their classrooms. And so I have 2 8-foot-long whiteboards drawn. I was just thinking of like how that can expand, because it can just continue. Like you have this connector that gets this referral and customer, and they could potentially be a connector, and then so on and so forth. So it just continues to unfold into this giant. I was thinking of the, I forget what the story is called, and there's a movie about it where it's do something nice for 3 people today. And it continues to unfold to where it's like, say, 3 people, 3 people, 3 people. And then like 2 months after doing it, like there's like 1 million people that's impacted or something. I keep thinking of that to where it's like you go to this connector and then good fit, good conversation. And then they connect you to a couple people. And then all of a sudden one of them becomes a customer, and then they have the likelihood of being a connector. And then it just kind of like unfolds to where you almost don't need paid campaigns to a certain degree. Like, and I love, don't get me wrong, I love paid, I love marketing, I love all that stuff, but there's a reason why organic content tends to bring better fit customers. But I've been able to see entire multi-million dollar companies not have a single dollar spent in paid campaigns, because it's done off of stuff like this, a highly manual process though, and then off of organic. Like, I think it's fascinating that you've been able to kind of digitize it, for lack of a weird description. But I think it's amazing that this type of technology is out there, and it's got a filter on it. So it's not just some marketplace where people think it's going to be, where you can just exchange a bunch of leads and trade CRMs and think you're going to get compensated for it. Because those exist too, which I think give marketplaces a bad name. And I think it just creates an unnecessary layer of noise that sales reps have to deal with, because then all of a sudden they're getting prospected from this other company because they connected CRMs, and now there's all these supposed opportunities that, yeah, it's, I've seen that side of it too. So I think this is really cool. Like being able to use AI to help generate good fit opportunities within certain businesses. But what I keep coming back to in my mind is like, where do you see the biggest fit for this right now? Like, where do you find the most product market fit for Small World?
You know, within the teams, obviously any revenue leaders who are responsible for, you know, funnel metrics all care about, right? One of the specific personas that is really embracing this are ABM teams, executive engagement teams, who have been asked to, you know, engage with the C-suite. And so they've taken some very, you know, clever approaches with content or events or, you know, dinners. And so they get excited about the idea of accelerating access and getting those KPIs checked off through a system that helps them achieve what they're looking to do instantaneously. I think, you know, strategic AEs who, again, are looking to your point, you know, inform across an organization, how do we do account planning? How do we think about who should be on the team for team-based selling, right? I think that's a one. You know, I think, you know, we've mostly worked with technology companies today, but we're really seeing a lot of interest in consulting now. We're seeing a lot of interest from, you know, venture firms and private equity firms who support those technology companies and how they're obviously being asked to help them. We think opportunities in business services, in insurance, and commercial real estate. So we have a, you know, a big vision for sort of where this will go. But, you know, to date, those, you know, sort of progressive technology companies that are, you know, really thinking, I think, ahead on, you know, again, how to, you know, leverage these existing assets. This isn't something where you're hiring a new group of people. These people already exist. It's just making it easier for them to help. And they all want to help, you know, with the right intangible or tangible incentives.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is really cool. I mean, I've done away with a lot of like direct consulting, like monthly retainer stuff, and gone more into licensing and programming. But it's like, there's still a level of that. It's like, that could work for people who do direct consulting, who, you know, work only with a very specific type of customer. And I think it makes the referral process so much easier, because then you can guide it, you can control it, everyone is on the same page, and there's not that weird level of following up with your people who you've asked for referrals to that haven't given to you. So I think it can go in a lot of different directions. And so where doesn't it fit? Like, who have you seen companies that come in and just struggle with it? Maybe it's like a technology adoption, or where have you seen it not work out that well?
I think, you know, really early stage small companies, you know, I say that, and at the same time, they're the ones that need the warm intros the most, right? So we actually have a product that will work really well for them, you know, coming out soon. But I think, you know, companies that, you know, traditionally are late adopters, right? They feel like, you know, what they're doing today is adequate. They're getting, let's say, a lot of inbound leads, right? I know a company, a large public trading company, they're all product-led growth. It's all about converting inbounds, even though there's a great use case for us there, because you want to triangulate that end using the product with the singular person who has the budget. They see it as though, you know, they're going to be more effective just qualifying those inbound leads. So I think, you know, we're trying to cut through that noise. You know, clearly, just from a macro perspective, we get thrown into a tools bucket, right? Which is fair or unfair. Depending on who you're speaking to, they'll look at headcount and tools as two separate things. And yeah, we're hiring all these new people to try to build pipeline, but we're consolidating and cutting, you know, this tools budget by $2 million. And you just sort of scratch your head and say, well,
yeah,
same business goal, right? It's a lot more to do this than to do this, but we'll talk in 6 months. And hopefully at that point, we've got case studies.
It's what people know. It's sad. I can't say the word sad, because it's unfortunate that everyone's so risk adverse right now. Everyone is kind of burnt out on the new thing, right? I feel like there was a new SaaS product launched every day during COVID. It was like money was just funneled in just because they had a slide deck and an idea. Now we see the results of that. Unfortunately, different conversation, different day, but they need to be more open to things that make sense. And a lot of companies just aren't even open to the conversation. They just think they were obliterated by all these different things for a couple of years. And now that's very hard to get in the door when, in fact, like tools now more than ever need to support the people coming into their business, especially with budgets being lower. They're trying to have less expensive labor, so they're going to get less experienced people. And if they don't have things that enable them, like I see this as an enablement tool, not just go to market, but it's like you can enable a smaller team to be more effective in a shorter period of time by combining the ABM style, networking style, and being able to teach people how to establish trust by way of having this information. I think the biggest roadblock that I would see is getting people to understand how to use the data without sounding robotic. Like, how do you get that person enough exposure into that persona and that business to be able to have that conversation when they do? And I think that's also an issue with product-led growth companies too, is you'll get people that come in through freemium, or they'll have like the manager comes in and starts a trial, but then they got to get on a conversation with that person's superior and they struggle with understanding the business use case to that level, and they don't make an impact, or they're stuck doing the, you know, basic discovery, or they ask the same questions in a different way and they never really move the needle on the impact for that organization. So I think, like we were saying at the very beginning, it's going to force reps to get better, to slow down and learn. And I'm fascinated with this tool because it solves a problem that I've seen for, gosh, the last decade in sales, where everyone always talks about referrals. Oh, they're the best one. I've done tons of polls on LinkedIn. I've had plenty of conversations with people like, oh, referrals are the best conversion. Oh, referrals are the best conversion. Then you ask them, what are you doing to get more of them? And it's like crickets. Or there's no internal process. They're like, oh, we rely on our CSM team to send us referrals. What's their process? Oh, we're not sure. Okay, do they get an incentive for sending referrals? Ah, not really. It's like, well, if we know this is a thing that works really well, then why aren't we doing more to focus on that, ramp it up, and bring intention with the team? And it's like, this kind of solves that problem, like in a big way, outside of just creating some weird workflows and attribution stuff inside of the CRM, which is what I usually do. So that's, I think it's really cool. I think it's oddly relevant and needed right now because it helps, like we were saying, the trust factor, which is probably going to be some title of the show talking about sales trust, because like I think it is one of the missing links in business today. It's just the level of trust that no one seems to have. And I think that's going to help get in the door sooner, have that trust established with the people that need to have that trust, especially since, you know, CFOs are early in the sales process now. Being able to have that connection point, I think, is super important, and it saves reps time on the research so they can make an impact early. And we're running up on time, but if someone was listening to this just right now, in those last 90 seconds that we're recording, like, what would you want them to walk away with?
You know, you made a great point, which is that today, you know, referrals, it's a very reactive thing, right? It's an expectation that they'll just, you know, come from a customer or come from an executive. And if you don't operationalize it and make it really easy for them and make it, you know, part of the nomenclature within an organization so that it becomes a consistent thing, you will not maximize the benefit from it. You won't, you know, leverage what's possible with referrals. And so being able to operationalize it and have it all managed and understood and spoken with a common language becomes an unbelievable lever as it relates to these warm introductions and referrals. And again, to date, it's been a very reactive thing. And now we're making it an important, you know, input metric into all the deal velocity metrics.
I think it's what is needed in business. And even if it's not small world, it's just people need to understand that trust is something that needs to be respected and it needs to be there, because I don't know how many times we've said it, or just it's been said in general, selling, people don't make decisions on logic. It's all about emotion. And one of the biggest emotions that people seem to look over is that trust factor. So David, I really appreciate you being here. It was a great conversation. We didn't get into like half of the stuff that I originally thought about, because like you started at Xerox, which is amazing. You know, selling printers is a different ballgame even back then. But I think this conversation is going to help a lot of people at least get more comfortable and familiar with using AI, whether it's with Small World or utilizing ChatGPT or something. But I think it's a conversation that more people need to lean into instead of be fearful of. So I I appreciate you being here, and hopefully maybe we'll bring you back for a round two later this year to see how the conversation's changed over time.
Awesome. Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate being on. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Selling SaaS podcast. And if you got value from today, please leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.